Yeah, you are. Go for it.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, so if you didn't know, we're expecting a baby. Who is looking forward to Christmas? Yeah? Who's prepared for Christmas? Less hands. So we're in the season of Advent. And Advent means the coming or the arrival. The coming and arrival of Jesus is our focus at this time. It's our preparation for the coming of Jesus. Brian touched on focus last week and how we need to spend time with Jesus. We need to read his word, pray with him, not just to him. And we need to be prepared to act and need to prepare our hearts. God wants us to be prepared. Would you get on an aeroplane if you knew it hadn't been prepared for taking off? Probably not. And we don't get pregnant then have a baby straight away. The baby has time to prepare for the outside world, and we have some kind of time to prepare ourselves as much as possible for parenthood. And we see examples of preparation all the way through the Bible. Let's take Noah for an example. He was told there was going to be an end of the world, an end of the world flood. He was given roughly 100 years to prepare for this event, and he knew what he had to do. First and foremost, he had to trust God. He had to build the ark to the measurements that God had given him. Did he have these skills and knowledge? We're not really sure. So he had to prepare. He had to know how to build an ark. He had to find the knowledge and the people and find the equipment to build the ark. If he wanted to fulfill God's purpose for him, he needed to prepare. But he also had to prepare beyond the flood. Noah's story doesn't finish at the end of the flood. He had to prepare for a world where there's likely to be nothing except him and the ark. There would be no houses that would have all been wiped away in the flood. He had to prepare for something that he wasn't sure what he was preparing for. He had to maybe learn how to build houses. He had to equip himself. God picked Noah because he could trust him, because he was obedient. In our lives, sometimes we know what's coming and sometimes we don't. But we can prepare to an extent for the things that we are unsure of. We can do this by prayer, seeking God's will and heart for us and the situation that we're in. We can know Scripture. By knowing Scripture, Satan was unable to deceive Jesus. And Scripture reveals the next 2 points as well. Who God is. The characteristics of God. And also knowing who we are. We are sons of the living God. We belong to Jesus. God prepared a way for us. When he saw man fall, he said in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." He was preparing to defeat Satan and preparing all those that read the Holy Scriptures of his plan. That plan was and still is Jesus Christ, who was and still is the victory for all of us, all that believe in him. Romans 5:8. While we were sinners, Jesus died for us, you and me. He was preparing to redeem you even before you were born. God tried to prepare all those in Israel for his coming by foretelling them about him, telling them about the Messiah, Scholars differ about the amount of Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. But it's somewhere between 200 and 400. That's what most say. Although many say it's more than that. Here are a few of those that Jesus fulfilled. Jesus was a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of Isaac, a descendant of Jacob, a descendant of Judah, a descendant of Jesse, and a descendant of King David. He would appear after a succession of rulers from the tribe of Judah. He would appear after the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and he would also appear before the destruction of Jerusalem. He would be born in Bethlehem to a virgin. He would be called Emmanuel, God with us. He would teach in parables, perform miracles. He would be called God's son, but also a son called God. He would be humble and meek. He would enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. He would be betrayed and rejected, despised and oppressed. He would be silent before his accusers, mocked by people shaking their heads, beaten and spat upon, hated without cause or reason. His faith in God would be mocked. He would be stripped of his clothing and people would cast lots for them. His hands and feet pierced. His suffering would include thirst. He would intercede for sinners. He'd be forsaken. He'd cry out to his Father. He would suffer for the sins of others. He would bring an end to sin. He would be buried in a wealthy man's tomb. He would not decay. Jesus would be resurrected and have an eternal kingdom, which would be established forever. He would affect people throughout the whole world and be a light to those around the world. This is Jesus. This is the Savior of the world. But even with these prophecies, Jesus's way was still prepared. His way was prepared by John. This was prophesied in Malachi 3:1. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And Luke 1:16-17 says this. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John brought a new sense of anticipation for Jesus, turning their focus onto the coming king. People were alert and waiting for Jesus. They were hungry for him. John was also a picture of the Old Testament prophet, dressed the same and eating locusts and honey. It was a way to jog people's memory because he was preaching a new message. A baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. John was preparing people for the new covenant, for Jesus. A covenant of love, redemption, and grace fulfilled by the only one that could, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. But what made John the right person for this? What made him so bold? He was the right person because he knew Jesus. He was bold because he knew Jesus. Remember when Mary met Elizabeth when they were both pregnant? John leapt with joy in the womb. John knew Jesus straight away. John knew the message that he would be bringing would endanger him and his ministry. But because he was certain that it was the truth, it didn't stop him. It didn't stop him speaking it out loud and endangering his ministry. Because he didn't just know Jesus, he knew his purpose. His purpose was to make a straight path to Jesus Christ, our Savior. He was laying the foundation for the coming king. John said that the one that follows me is much greater than me. That person that was much greater is Jesus. For Christmas, we do loads of preparation. We spend hours finding gifts, ordering and preparing food, putting decorations up. If we are celebrating Christ's birth, but putting more time into all these worldly things that put Christ at the back of our mind, are we doing it correctly? Don't get me wrong, we can do both. But in the build-up to Christmas, if we put more time into these things and not spending time with Jesus, then our priorities are completely wrong. But rather than just spending time with Jesus, let's make Jesus known to people. Just as we saw through Jesus and John's ministry, the church was and still is being persecuted. Some threatened with their lives, some giving up their lives. Others are being marginalized and their voices are shut down. But this shouldn't be a surprise to us. 1 John 3:13, do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. The path to heaven is a narrow path. It doesn't say following or finding Christ is easy. I'm sure there's many testimony here of people that have had difficult times finding or following Jesus. But when something is hard, when something is hard to find, we often need help and a light. We are that help and we are the light. Each one of us here has a responsibility to share the gospel, to share the good news. Each one of us has a responsibility to share the love of Jesus. Each one of us has to testify what Jesus has done for us and what he has done in all of creation. We need to boast only in Jesus and the cross of Christ. We all need to be prepared to share our hope and to give answers. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We can put up obstacles saying, we're not good enough. It's not my job to evangelize. That's for those that are called to the office of evangelism. There are, of course, people that are specifically called to evangelize, but it is the job of every believer. Every believer should share the good news. We have a hope that we should want to share with people. If we know Jesus and Jesus is in our heart, it should be flowing out of us. We should be sharing Jesus naturally. This is what Jesus instructed the disciples. In Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded of you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Then in Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These verses show that the apostles' job was to spread the gospel far and wide. Our job is no different. Some will say that the apostles were different and it doesn't apply to us now. But we believe God is with us. We believe we have the Holy Spirit. So why don't we believe the rest of it? In Acts 8, when all the believers had been scattered, it says in verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. This was all believers. They preached wherever they went. We see deacons evangelizing, teachers evangelizing, prophets evangelizing. We see all sorts of people evangelizing throughout the Bible. We also see Jesus evangelizing. If we take the Samaritan woman as example, John 4, the woman at the well, Shine kindly introduced for me. By reaching out to this woman, Jesus set aside customs and the law. He overcame barriers. He came to her with a need. The need was thirst, and dignified her with his simple request for water. He acknowledged that the unbeliever may have something to offer us. He had something greater, but he acknowledged that they may have something for us. He also honored her with rational discussion, revealing his confidence in her ability to understand. He didn't belittle her. He respected her. He even spoke graciously about her sin. We were all sinners. And the only way we can overcome sin is through Jesus. He meets us where we are, and he takes us on a journey. He walks through our sin so that we can come out the other side. We can't judge others' sin because we're sinners ourselves. We must be gracious in our conversation with unbelievers. Finally, he entrusted her with bearing the good news to her community. And she became a successful evangelist. She went into the community and brought people to Jesus. That's the same for us here. We can go out into the community and bring Jesus, bring people to Jesus. But we can also bring Jesus to them. It's not just getting people into church. It's meeting people out and meeting their needs. 2 Corinthians 5. We'll start at 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. A lot of people stop at that verse when they read it out loud, but I want to read the rest of it. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we were old and then we became new. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, Jesus gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And therefore, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. God is working through you to reach people. He has given us this ministry of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors. Evangelism is for all of us, even if it's on a small scale, even if it's one-to-one, or even if it's, as the woman did, bringing people to listen to Jesus. This is the same Jesus that lives in us. He wants people to be saved. He didn't come in the world so people would be condemned. He came so that people would have everlasting life. He loved us that much. But fear can stop us from sharing. These are a few that have stopped me. You may resonate with them, or you may have some of your own. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of looking stupid. Fear of saying the wrong thing. The fear of not knowing. Or the fear of upsetting someone. Last week, I found out that a friend was interested in exploring the Bible again. I knew he'd been to church as a child, but I didn't know that he still had an interest now. It was exciting to hear this, and yet I had absolutely nothing to do with it. I thought he wouldn't be interested, so I hadn't brought anything up. I thought he was totally against it, so I avoided the subject. He knew I was a Christian, and he knew that I went to church, but I'd never had a conversation with him about it. Because I was fearful of his reaction. I was fearful that I was going to be rejected. Thankfully, someone else approached him and started these conversations with him. And what it's made me do is recognize that I can't be fearful. Because fear isn't of God. Perfect love drives out all fear. Perfect Jesus drives out all fear. Why do you think it can be so fearful to share about someone that you love? Someone that has saved you. Someone that you spend time with. Why? Because Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. Why would Satan want you to share something that gives you life, hope, and a future? But that is exactly what Jesus has given us. He's given us a life, hope, and a future. He's given us love. And through him, and only through him, we are overcomers. We are conquerors. Not by our own strength, through him. He says in the Great Commission, "And surely I am with you." Let Jesus do the work. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, clothed with Christ. We be prepared to share who he is and who you have become, but also tune into the Holy Spirit and wait for his prompting. So you may be wondering where I'm going with all this. I started off with Advent and Christmas, then I went to being prepared, and then I went on to evangelism. I ask you this question. Are we prepared to open a path to Jesus this Christmas? Are we prepared to open a path to Jesus this Christmas? Christmas is a fantastic opportunity to share who Jesus is. At this time of year, people are more receptive to hearing about him, and they give us more opportunity. And it seems to us that we don't have to be as pushy. People could say Santa, and we could just dismiss them straight off. Or we could compare him to Jesus. Santa's way of reward for keeping to the rules is a bit like the Pharisees. Try harder, do better. This is not Jesus's way. Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is only through Christ." I found these next things on the Gospel Coalition website, and I thought I'd share them because I really liked them. Santa says earn it. Jesus says receive it. Santa says if you're good, you'll get love. Jesus says only my love can make you good. Santa makes a list and says, "I'll be checking it twice." Jesus says, "It is finished." Santa says, "Be good for goodness sake." Jesus says, "I was good for your sake." Jesus is a hope that Santa cannot live up to. And at Christmas time, when many people think of gifts, What a better thing to give them than the opportunity to accept the gift of life? People are even more likely to come to a Christmas service. Some people feel it is part of a Christmas tradition and they won't hear anything else throughout the year. So if you don't feel confident about talking to them about Christ, take a baby step and invite them to a service instead. Our service, December the 22nd, 6 p.m, they will hear a gospel message. And if they can't make that one, but they're interested, look to see if you can find them another service to attend. God wants people saved. They don't have to be members of this church. It's members under Christ. So this Christmas, let's all make a concerted effort to at least invite one non-believer to the Christmas service. We all with that? We can all do that? Prepare yourself. Don't just pick someone and go, will you come? Pray about it. Pray who God wants you to invite along. And then follow through on it. You never know, they might even say yes. Then afterwards, don't just leave them. Be prepared to share your faith. Be prepared to answer questions. Be prepared to talk about who God is. And let the Holy Spirit do the work. When you do it, remember these words. God said, I am with you. It is not our responsibility for the outcome. It is our responsibility to sow the seed. God wants as many people saved as possible because he loves people. He desires a relationship with people. Just sow the seed. So a simple four-step plan, if you've got lost in all my ramblings. Focus on Jesus. Prepare yourself. Listen to the promptings in prayer. Don't just send off a shopping list. Pray with him, not just to him. Share Jesus. So this Christmas, I want us to remember this verse, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus may have come as a child, but he is our God. He is our hope, he is our salvation, he is love. He came to earth for me and you so that we may live and have everlasting life. He is the reason why we celebrate Christmas. He deserves to be shared. So let's share him. So let's stand and we'll pray. Father God, I thank you that you came onto this earth to save us. I thank you that you came as a baby. And I thank you that you gave us a foretelling of what we should look out for. Father, I pray for all those people that don't know you yet. I pray that they may hear about you and get to know you, that they may know the love you have for them. Father, and I pray for boldness for the people in this room. I pray that all fear is got rid of, that your love will drive out that fear and just motivate them to step out for you. Father, and I pray for opportunity. I pray for opportunity to share you, to share your love. And with our boldness and that opportunity, we look to you. Father, I thank you that you are with us and that it's not our doing, it is your doing. I thank you that you stay with us, and through that, we can do all things through you. Father, I thank you. I just want to give this space just for a minute for you to think about who that person is that you want to invite to a Christmas service this year. Ask God about it. Don't just think about it. Ask God about it and see who he puts on your mind. Father, I thank you that we can ask you and that you will answer. I pray that the person that you've put on everybody's heart is the person that you want them to ask. I ask you to do your work, Lord, to prepare their hearts and to prepare our hearts to give. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.